Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and Shabbos, daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. It's been a wonderful week. Started a week ago, I think just today, Sunday or Shabbos. We started the 19th parak of Shabbos today. We, God willing, will finish the 19th parak of Shabbos. And parak and Shabbos in the Masechta Shabbos dedicated to the mitzvah of Milah. The reason why it comes up in Shabbos is because, as we've been discussing now for a week, it overrides the Shabbos. The mitzvah of Milah on the eighth day, Bizmano, is going to be overriding the Shabbos. And so, consequently, the Mishnayos and the Gemara turn its attention to the mitzvah of Milah, and we discuss the mitzvah of Milah. I don't think any more daf than today's daf is where we discuss the details of the actual mitzvah itself, in terms of what kind of precision we need to do the mitzvah. That comes up in today's daf. But overall, though, it's been a very enjoyable week of daf yomi. I mean, it's always enjoyable, but this is, you know, the Gemara refers to it as such a significant mitzvah. You give more brisos, there are 13 brisos made over the this particular mitzvah. Okay, we understand. There's lox, there's bagels. We all understand. We have a little bit more to go in terms of finishing up yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf was daf Kuf Lamed Vav, and we arrived at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph. We're starting today right at the very bottom, starting with the words Itmar. It's right towards the bottom of the page. Right, it's the very last line of the Amud on Kuf Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph. Yesterday's daf, very important halacha l'maisa daf in terms of what point in time do we assume the baby is to be a viable baby, and we do not, and the baby leaves the world of safek. The Gemara opened up yesterday with the opinion of Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that for the first 30 days of a human's life, the baby's in a state of safek nefa. We don't know if the baby's going to be viable or not. And consequently, that means, and he learns that from a pasuk, he learns it from the pasuk in the Torah, where it says that the pigeon, the redemption of the firstborn son, only comes after day 30, right, Yom HaShloshim, from the 30th day and onward. So, from there, Rashi ben Gamliel derives that the baby is viable only after the 30th day, which led the Gemara to a very interesting discussion yesterday. So how do you do a bris on Shabbos? Meaning, the bris is on the 8th day. 8th day, obviously, is 22 days earlier than the 30th day. And so it might not be a viable child, and so you may be doing a bris on a baby, which isn't viable. So, and in general, that's not an issue, but on Shabbos, how can it override the Shabbos? That's the Gemara's question yesterday, and the Gemara had a very interesting answer yesterday. Mima nafshach. Mima nafshach is, look, either way, you're going to be okay. Either it's a viable baby, and you're doing the mitzvah of a bris, or it's not a viable baby, and the baby's now considered dead, even though the baby's breathing and there's a pulse, the baby's now considered dead, and you're mechatech babasar. And so therefore the Gemara's conclusion yesterday is meman of shach, either way it's okay. And obviously there was a lot of interesting side discussion to that, because it comes out then that even while the baby's alive, if the baby's not viable, the baby's already considered dead, and the Gemara then wanted to know if that's in fact agreed to by everybody. And the Gemara's basic conclusion is, yeah, it is agreed to by everybody, that even while the baby is alive, if the baby is an Eiffel, even though the baby has not yet died, the baby is halachically considered dead.
But the pasuk of pinin ben should apply only for 8-month baby.
Right.
Now, if we say a 9-month baby, you know.
Well, the Gemara continuously said yesterday that if you're kimlo, if you're sure that the gestation was a full gestation, so then
you make the pinin ben early? No.
No. Right. Agreed.
So not only it's a great indication that...
That's the opinion of Rashi ben Gamliel. And also yesterday there was also another discussion. Does anyone argue with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Is there a Tanna Kamma who argues with Rashi ben Gamliel? That also became part of yesterday's daf. Okay. But now we're continuing in the Gemara. We're in the very bottom of Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph and Itmar. Meis Pesach Shoshim V'amda Benis Katsha. Okay, so we're continuing this discussion of having a child and the child dying within the first 30 days. And as Rashi points out, v'lo hayalav ben ela hu, v'no lalachem isasav v'ayidei v'al yado yupochon imam min achalitza. So this is the only child, and so had this been a viable child, so then mom would have been exempt from the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. Okay. Let me go on, afterwards, if you want to clarify. So the besoch shoshim amdav in his kacha. So the and then so in other words, so she may have had a baby. What do I mean? May have had a baby, meaning She knows she had a baby, but the baby may not have been viable. Now, in order for there to be a patur, an exemption from the mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza, the baby needed to be a viable baby. If the baby dies later in life, so it's unfortunate, but she'll have an exemption. If the baby was not viable from the very beginning, she won't have an exemption. And what happened, the Amda v'Nizkacha, now, without having first gotten a chalitza, which should have been her move, meaning, well, let's, before we move on in the case, meaning, let's go over what should happen right now. What should happen right now is that we don't know if she had a legitimate exemption from the mitzvah of Yibum Chalitza. So don't do the mitzvah of Yibum. I mean, let's be clear. Because the mitzvah of Yibum was only if she knows for sure that she did not have a child. She may have had a child. So she's not going to be doing the mitzvah of Yibum, but misafek, she should do the mitzvah of chalitza, because there's a very good chance that there is a zika, and that she needs, she's connected, she's attached, she's chained to her brother-in-law. So do the mitzvah of chalitza, and chalitza will now free her up, so to say. Okay, that's what should happen. Well, the baby died.
The baby died.
So there's no more information that's going to come to us. She's now in this perpetual state of suffix.
Right.
Okay, so she should do chalitza. Okay, good. But she now, that's what should happen. But here, what happened instead is that she went to another man, okay, dated another man, and received kiddushin from this other guy. Now, it's a little bit sticky situation, because should she be receiving kiddushin from another guy? No. In other words, the first thing she needs to do is go to her brother-in-law and get chalitza from her brother-in-law. But she accepted kiddushin from another guy. So, Amar Avinu Mishmei Derava, Yimei Shetz Yisrael, Hu Choletzes. So now, if she says Shetz Yisrael, so there's no Kohen issue whatsoever, meaning the guy that she received kiddushin from was not a Kohen. Okay, so let her go back to her brother-in-law and say, look, I should have done this earlier, okay, but right now, in order for me to continue with my marriage with this man, I really should receive chalitza. In the chance that the baby was not a viable baby, and I did not have an exemption from the mitzvah of Yibam and chalitza, so just give me chalitza, and then I'm going to go back to my husband. Okay, fine. However, Yimesh is Kohen he, but let's now imagine that the man that she accepted kiddushin from was a Kohen. Okay, now she's in a halachic conundrum. And the halachic conundrum basically goes like this. She's going to go back to her brother-in-law and say, look, can I get chalitza from you? Because I don't know if I was exempt from the mitzvah of chalitza or not. So if she does, in fact, get chalitza, now the man that she is currently married to, right, that she accepted kiddushin from, is going to be prohibited to her, right? Because the man that she is currently married to, she was Niskadesh, is a Kohen. She, upon receiving chalitza, is a chalutza, right? So, and a chalutza is prohibited to marry a Kohen. So we got ourselves a problem. So what should she do? So the first opinion in the Gemara, the position said in the name of Rava, is that ain't a chalutza. So don't get chalitza. Ignore the chalitza. Now ignore the chalitza. How can you ignore the chalitza? The baby died within the first 30 days. We do not know if the baby was viable. So there's a very good chance, I mean, I say very good, right? There is a chance, let's just leave it like that. There is a chance that she has a mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza. You're not allowed to marry somebody else if there's a mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza until the Chalitza has been performed. So it's a very strange ruling by Rava, just ignore it. And the Choletzes. And then the Gemara quotes another Amara, Rosh Ravya, or Misharshia, whichever gear you want to go with, who says in the name of Rava, no, you should receive chalitza in both cases. What about the second case that she was married to a Kohen, and she'll be ushered to her husband? Okay, the chips are going to fall where they're going to fall, but she needs to do chalitza. So, achazu chalitza. Amalei Ravina Rav Shravia beortam Rav Hachi letzafra hadarbei. So Ravina says to Rav Shravia, and now remember, we're painting the picture. We have two positions in the name of Rava. One is Ravina, the other one is Rav Shravia. Now, two different opinions. Ravina was a more makel position, and Rav Shravia was a Ravina was a more makel position. Rav Shravia was a more machmer position. So, Ravina, what a move. Ravina says to Rav Shravia, you know, yes, I did hear Rava say like you, that you have to do chalitza in both cases, even if the man that she accepted kiddushin from was a Kohen. But that was last night. Then next morning, Rava comes to Shir, and he comes to the Beis Medrash, and you happen not to have been there, and Rava changed his mind. And Rava said that no, in the case of Kohen, she does not need to receive chalitza. So, and again, as we pointed out, that's a very difficult position to understand, because there's a good chance that the baby was not a viable baby. Now, it could be that maybe Rava was siding not with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but siding with the Tanakhama. Meaning, we go back to yesterday's daf, and we noted that it could be that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama, and it could be that Rava's ruling that she doesn't have to accept chalitza is based on the Tanakhama's position, which is that even if the baby died within 30 days, it is considered a viable baby, and it's not a suffix. So it could be all that. Okay, I'm just trying to give some sort of defense of this position of Rava, but Amar Rava Hachi L'Safa Hadabei Amar Lei Shiryusei Yehei Rava Tetishru Tarba. So this is not a pleasant exchange over here. Meaning Shiryusei, you're a matir, you're a permitter. Meaning, how can that possibly be? You violate the ruling of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that when the baby dies within 30 days, there's a chance that was not a viable baby. That baby very well could have been an Eifel. And now there's a mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza, and you're just going to ignore it? You're a Sharyusa, you're a permitter. Yehei Rava to Tishru Tarba. Well, I really hope that you permit Chalev. Now, I hope you understand, you hear the dripping sarcasm of that statement. Meaning Chalev is Chalev. There's no permit. It's an Issur Karis. There's no permit for Chalev. So he says to him, much like there's a chance of you permitting Chalev, so I can also understand in this case how you would permit the Chalitza. It's not a pleasant exchange. Meaning to say, I can't possibly understand how Rava would change his mind. He did say that she needs to get a Chalitza in both cases, and that really is that's the only way you could possibly see it. Okay. And we go on in the Mishnah of Yehuda Matir. Now, we're back to the case of the androgynous. Just a couple more words on the androgynous. Now, what did we learn in our Mishnah? Androgynous is somebody who has both male and female genitalia. So so on the side that he is a zachar, so he gets a mila. However, as the Mishnah pointed out, if his mila were to come up on Shabbos, he don't do the mila on Shabbos. Because it's a suffix. It's a suffix what he actually is. He may be a she may be a he. Or maybe some other category, may not be, in other words, we'd have to put another box in for that person, right? Neither he nor she, but androgynous, right? Both, hybrid. Whatever the case is, you don't do the bris on Shabbos. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah brought in the position of Rav Yehuda says, no, you do it on Shabbos, right? Going back to the Mishnah on, where am I?
If it wasn't Shabbos, you'd have to do it.
Everyone agrees on that if it's not Shabbos, here it is. It's on Kuf Lamed Aleph Beis. Everyone agrees that if it's not Shabbos, you'll do the bris. You'll do the bris. The only issue now becomes: what if I do it on? What if it comes up on Shabbos? So the Tanna Kamma says that you're not Mechal Shabbos for this because it's not definitely a man. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, "Matir ban Joshes." No, you'll do the bris on Shabbos. So now the Gemara notes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, basically where do we stay with Rabbi Yehuda? It sounds like that according to Rabbi Yehuda, an androgynous is a male. Okay, with issues, but is a male, and you're going to be doing the bris on Shabbos. So Amar. So the Gemara starts off. Amar of Shizbi, Amar of Chista, lo lekol Amar of Yehuda, androgynous zachar hom. So, yes, according to Rav Yehuda, this androgynous is a man. And it's generally true, but not always true. Meaning, in some halachas, even Rav Yehuda will consider this androgynous to be in a category in of itself. Not a male, not a female, but neither. None of the above. She'im ha'ta'omer kein berech en ya'arich. Because where do we need to know whether he's a he or she's a she in the world of Erechin? Erechin, one of the last mitzvahs brought up in Sefer Vayikra, may have a mesachta in it that we went through, right, not that long ago, let's say about a year ago, and in it we learned basically that you can make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash based on a person's erech, okay? It's like having a dinner in somebody's honor, but in other words, without all the fanfare, you just simply say, I want to give this person's erech, this person's value. And here the Torah gives a very simple scale in terms of adjusting what a person's value is. It's based on age and it's based on gender. Okay, those are the only two factors to consider, and the Torah basically gives us a scale. So, uminalan dalom mi'arech. Now, You turn to somebody who's an androgynous, okay, this is not that complimentary, and you say, I'd like to give a zerach. So interestingly enough, he doesn't have one, because he's not a male, he's not a female. He's both. She's both. Okay. Now the Gemara here quotes a brisa, and as we're going to learn in just a moment, it's not just a brisa, it's a sifra. Medrash halacha. The brisa says, so it has to be a male and not a tumtum, not androgynous. Androgynous, as we've been discussing, someone who has both, and tumtum, neither. What does that mean? Neither means it's covered over with a membrane. So we do not know whether it's a male or female. So, yachlo yeh berachisha val yeh berachisha. Okay, so I might have thought, look, it doesn't have an erachish, but maybe an erachisha. So, tamalom rahazachar, ivim nikevahi. The Torah is a little superfluous in the way it presents the schedule of male versus female. So, zachavade nikevavadai, velotum tamajaganus, meaning you have to be on either side of the fence. You either have to be male, or you have to be female. Anything in between is simply not subject to erechin. Now, remember, now, the case we're trying to make is that even Rav Yehuda, who allows an androgynous bris to override Shabbos, even he's of the opinion that that's not a universal rule, and we see it in the world of erechin. Now, we just quoted a brisa. Now, the tricky part to this, well, it's not that tricky, is that this brisa over here is an anonymous brisa. How do we know that this brisa is authored by Rav Yehuda? That's Gemara's next point. We're on the top now of Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Ustam Sifra Rav Yehuda, because what we just quoted is not just a brisa, it's Sifra. Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. It goes by a couple names. It's called Sifra. It also goes by the name of Torah Kohanim. So it's Tanaitic. And we also have a general rule that whenever you have an anonymous Sifra, that's authored by Rav Yehuda. I imagine we're talking about Rav Yehuda Eli. So that's authored by Rav Yehuda. So now it comes out then that this Stam Sifra, which is going like Rav Yehuda, has by Erchin in the world of Erchin, either you're definitively male or you're definitively female. If you're androgynous, you do not fit in either category. So, and now, how do you want to say according to Rav Yehuda? That the general rule is, I say general rule, I don't know where else we could apply it to. I'm sure there's many other mitzvahs we could apply it to. But the general rule is an androgynous is treated like a man, right? Like we see that by Shabbos in the mitzvah of Bris. But there's an exception. The exception is Erechin. That sounds like how had the correct way to say it. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Avanah Mitanin Alkol Kshirim Lekadosh Chutz Mecher Shot Vekatan. Everyone is subject to be Mekadosh. Mekadosh over here says Rashi, we're talking about the Mechatas, to put the Afer in the water. Okay, in other words, to create the mixture of the Paraduma. So, except for Cheresho Tevekatan, with the exception of Cheresho Tevekatan, they don't have the proper Das, so therefore they cannot do it. Uposel Beisha Veandrogynous. So, and will be a disqualifier by Isha and androgynous. You see the third parak of Yuma, why a woman is disqualified from performing this mitzvah of creating the mixture of the paraduma, and an androgynous as well. So, and over here, Shema Mina. So you see now another example where an androgynous is not treated like a man. Shema Mina. So then, I may be wrong, but the way I originally presented it, meaning the way I originally presented it is that Rav Yehuda holds that generally speaking, androgynous is a man, but in the area of Erchin, no. Now it seems like that's not true, right? Let's correct my statement. That maybe, no, an androgynous is really not a man, right? It sounds like over here it's like definitely a woman. But androgynous is not a man. Let's say it simply like that. And then the mitzvah of Mila is the exception to the rule, which then leads the Gemara to ask the question, Umayshna Mila? So then why should Mila be different? Dichsiv himolachem kol zachar. Right? The word kol means it's a ribui, it means any male. Any male means that even if he's not an absolute definitive male, meaning this particular male also has female components, nevertheless, you're still going to do the mitzvah of Mila. The mitzvah of Mila still applies, and so therefore, to have the mitzvah of Mila, according to Rav Yehuda, you don't have to be definitively a male, you just simply need a male organ. Okay. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of the discussion of androgynous. No, the pasuk here on Shabbos, that's the pasuk in Parshas Tazria. This pasuk over here is in Parshas Lech Lecha. So it doesn't speak to the idea of Shabbos, it just simply speaks to who's subject to the mitzvah of Mila. And according to Rav Yehuda, an androgynist is. So now that we know the androgynist is subject to the mitzvah of milah, so that means now we'll go to Parshas Tazria, and we'll say that once there is a mitzvah of milah, and once he qualifies for the mitzvah, so then you're docheh Shabbos. But the Tanakhama's position, which is the accepted halacha, is we're not sure. We're not sure if he's subject to the mitzvah of milah. He's in this category of suffolk. And because he's in this category of suffolk, like all the other cases of suffolk, so then this mitzvah is not going to override the Shabbos.
What does Tanakhama say? Called nothing?
Right, the Gemara. Right, the Gemara doesn't. Right, that's a good time for the Gemara to go back and forth. And here, the Gemara doesn't go back and forth. Mishai lo shnei tinokas. Now, get ready. This is a very enjoyable sugya, but it can get a little bit complicated. Okay, I really. It's okay. Right, the cases of the mixed up babies.
Right.
Okay, now before we do the mission inside, there basically are two cases. Let me present this nice and simple, and then we'll do all of it inside. But there basically is going to be the case of two mixed up babies. Okay, babies born either on Friday or Shabbos. Okay, which now means that the bris is going to be a week later, Friday and Shabbos. Friday for the Friday baby, Shabbos for the Shabbos baby. Or the other case is going to be Shabbos Sunday, where now fast forward a week, and they're going to have one bris to be done on Shabbos, the other bris to be done on Sunday, and the babies get mixed up. Now, the big issue that we're going to be discussing over here is the following. Look, if I violate the Shabbos inadvertently, b'shogeg, so I have to bring a karmen chatas. Now, why? Because, as we mentioned time and again, shogeg doesn't mean that it was an accident. Shogeg means that you really weren't careful. Shogeg means that you forgot today was Shabbos. Well, how in the world did you forget today was Shabbos? It's because you woke up and you didn't look at the calendar. In other words, you just weren't careful enough. Or shogeg means I forgot what the halacha was. Well, you shouldn't have forgotten what the halacha is. You should have remembered. So in other words, you're not liable to the death penalty, but the Torah basically says to you, look, what you did is wrong. You need a kapara. So go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a karban chatas. That's shogeg. And then basically what we're going to be discussing, and it really is an enjoyable discussion, is what's excusable? Meaning, what mistake is the Torah going to look at you and the Torah is going to say to you, you know, permission granted. Meaning, not permission. You don't have permission. But at least, you don't have to bring a karban chatas. Meaning, forgiveness because your heart was in the right place. Now, I don't mean to be, you know, I don't normally sound that touchy-feely. Right? Your heart was in the right place. I'm not that guy. But, basically, that's going to be the discussion of this sugya over here. Now, here's a perfect example where the mohel knows that he has a bris on Shabbos. And so there he is, and there's a lot of pressure. And so there he is now with two babies, and by accident, he didn't give the bris to the right baby on Shabbos. So he did violate Shabbos because he didn't give the bris to the right baby. But today on Shabbos, there is a baby that needs to get a bris. So he is what's called, we're going to learn a new term today, he's a toeh bedvar mitzvah. He's making a mistake, but he's doing a mitzvah, or at least he's attempting to do a mitzvah. And so the discussion is, if you're toeh bedvar mitzvah, do you get a pass on having to bring a karban chatas? Does the Torah basically say at that point in time, look, he was trying to do a mitzvah, give him a little bit of a break. Now, right, no karban chatas. Now, basically, the way the two opinions are going to set out, now, again, there's going to be a lot of details, and you're going to get, hopefully not, we're not going to get lost in the details, but the basic two opinions are going to be as follows. Either, in other words, we're all going to agree to it at some point that you get a pass for being a toeh bedvar mitzvah. But do you have to be a toeh bedvar mitzvah and successfully have accomplished a mitzvah? Or do you only have to be attempting to do a mitzvah even though you didn't actually do the mitzvah? Okay? If you don't fully understand what I mean yet, it's because we haven't read a word of Gemara yet, or Mishnah, but you'll see as we go through this. Okay? We start with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah gives us our two cases. There's the first case is the Friday Shabbos case, and the second case is Shabbos Sunday. Misha yilo shnei tinokas echal amol achar Shabbos ve'echal amol b'Shabbos. Why was I wrong? The first case in the Mishnah is Shabbos Sunday. V'shachar chumal eshal achar ha-Shabbos b'Shabbos. And so now, fast forward a week. I have two babies. I have a Shabbos baby and I have a Sunday baby. And so what happens is the mole by accident takes the Sunday baby. Now for the Sunday baby, we all understand, what day is it for the Sunday baby? It's day 7. So one day too early. There is no mitzvah yet to do the bris. The mitzvah only begins on day 8. And chayev. and he does the bris on this seventh day baby on Shabbos, he will be chayav. Chayav over here meaning he violated Shabbos. He has to bring a carbon chatas.
Who makes the babies? He did or somebody else?
No, he did. Let's say he did. In other words, he was totally in kit. He should have tagged the babies right in the toe. Or like I did with the birth of my twins. I painted one of their toenails. Don't tell them that. Yeah. Okay, so you're right, but I'm just going to correct your terminology. He said Tov Bidvar Mitzvah, meaning Dov Hashem Miskaven. He's Miskaven, he knows exactly what he wants to do. He wants to give the Mila.
But he's not causing a wound on Shabbat.
Sure he is.
But that's not his intention. His intention is to do the Brit Mila.
Okay, good, but he took the wrong baby. I mean, if I went now and I took a newborn baby, a one-day-old baby, and I did the bris, so my I could have had the best of intentions. There's no mitzvah. So here, for the seventh day, there's no mitzvah. And he took the baby of the seventh day, and he did the bris on Shabbos. And there was no mitzvah. And because there's no mitzvah, so consequently, that now means that he did a chabura on Shabbos. He's chayav. Now, that's case number one. And you'll notice, of course, that in case number one, there's no debate. Meaning, the Mishnah says it very flatly that he's going to be chayev. And why is he going to be chayev? Because he did a wound when there is absolutely no mitzvah. It's one day early. Now we move on to the next case. Echelam ol be'er Shabbos ve'echelam ol b'Shabbos. So now I could say it. Now this case over here is the Friday Shabbos. Now fast forward a week. And so now we move to Shabbos. V'shachar chumal shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. And so what he did is he gave the Friday baby a bris on Shabbos. Now what did he do with the Shabbos baby? Yeah. Okay, so right now we don't know. And it'd be helpful to know that information, but right now we don't know. But here's what we do know. For the Friday baby, he gave the bris on Shabbos. Did he do a mitzvah? Yeah, he did. In other words, it's not Mila Bezmana, but it's after the eighth day. After the eighth day, there's a mitzvah. So, was he a Toeh Bidvar Mitzvah? Yes. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chatas, Rabbi Yoshua Poter. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, there was a mitzvah, but did he have permission to give this bris on Shabbos? No. The only time that we have a license to give a bris on Shabbos is only when the eighth day falls on a Shabbos. He did not have permission to give this bris on Shabbos. There was no heter. So, therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, he's a Shabbos violator. Now, Bishogeg, but he's a Shabbos violator. He has to bring a Karban Chatas. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, he doesn't have to bring a Karban Chatas. Why? Because he's a Toeh Bidvar Mitzvah. Okay. So far, so good? We go with the Gemara. Rav Huna Masni Chayev. Now, Rav Huna, there's not much to do in terms of the position of Rav Huna. Rav Huna has a Girsa in our Mishnah the way we have it. Meaning, our Mishnah, at the end of the first case, three lines down in the Mishnah, the Mishnah ends with the words, Chayev, right? The first case, right? That first case is Sunday, Shabbos Sunday. And he gave the bris of the Sunday baby on Shabbos, meaning day seven of the baby he gave on Shabbos. And what did the Mishnah say? Chayev. And why? Because there is no mitzvah. Okay. And Rav Huna says that's the girsa of the Mishnah, meaning Rav Huna basically says, you see our Mishnah? That's the right girsa. Rav Yehuda Masne Pater. And Rav Yehuda is a different girsa in the Mishnah. And Rav Yehuda's girsa in the Mishnah is Pater. Meaning instead of the word reading Chayev, the word should be read Pater. Now that's a major difference, obviously. The difference between Chayev versus Pater. So wait one moment, because we're going to go over the position of Rav Huna in just a second. I'm sorry, Rav Yehuda in just a second. But in the meantime, however, first Rav Huna. Rav Huna Masni Chayev Detanya. And here we have a Braisa, which is basically going to be supportive of Rav Huna's Girsa. Detanya, Amar Rav Shimon Melazar, Lanechuku Rabbi, Eliezer, Rav Yeshua, Amisha, Hayilo Beis, Inokas, Echelamo, B'Shabbos, V'Echelamo, Achar, Shabbos. If the case were Shabbos Sunday, V'Shachar Chumal, Shal Achar, Shabbos, B'Shabbos, and he took the Sunday baby and he gave the bris on Shabbos, which means it was day seven, Chayev. Everybody agrees you're going to be chayev because you did a non-mitzvah on Shabbos. You're going to be chayev. The case where they're going to argue is where it was a Friday Shabbos baby scenario. And umalat shalayr Shabbos b'Shabbos, and then you took the Friday baby and you gave it a bris on Shabbos. She Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatzav Rabbi Yeshua poter. Where Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayev a carbon chatzav, Rabbi Yeshua says you're poter. And why should that be? Ushneim lo lamdua ela me'avodas kochavim, and they learn it from avodah zara. Avodah zara sets the stage in terms of what exactly is the threshold of bringing a carbon chatas. Meaning, what is the definition of a shoge? Rabbi Eliezer Savar Kavaros Kochavim Avaros Kochavim Amarachman Alo Savid Vichy Avid Mechayev. Because look, the precedent from Rabbi Eliezer's standpoint is very simple. Torah says don't serve idolatry. And you did. Now, why did you do it? Who cares? It doesn't matter. The Torah says not to do it. And you did it. You forgot was Aser. You forgot that this is Avodah Zarah. Whatever you forgot, it doesn't matter. In other words, if you actually did it, you're chayv a carbon chatas. So Rabbi Eliezer said same thing over here. You gave a bris to a baby on Shabbos, and you had no license to do so, because the only license is when it's the eighth day on Shabbos, and here it's the ninth day. So when all said and done, did you violate Shabbos? Yes, you did. You got to bring a carbon chatas. Hachinami lo shnal. That is the argument of Rabbi Eliezer. It's a really straightforward argument. And Rabbi Yoshua, hasam dav mitzvah u'acha mitzvah. Rabbi Yoshua says, wow, there's a world of difference. In the case of Avodah Zarah, you're not doing anything good. All you're doing is Avodah Zarah. Torah says not to worship Avodah Zarah. You worshiped Avodah Zarah. So yeah, you're right. You're going to be chayv a carbon chatas, regardless of what you were thinking. Here, there is a mitzvah. Meaning, there's a mitzvah of milah. Right. Now, granted, it's the wrong day, and you don't have a permission, and you don't have a heter to do it. But there's a mitzvah involved over here. So Rav Yehoshua says there's a difference between Avodah Zarah and the case of milah. Okay. That is all an explanation of Rav Huna, which is our Girs on the Mishnah. And now we turn our attention to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's Girs on the Mishnah is not chai, but rather pater. Now, how does that work? So, let's go on in the Gemara. Masti pata detanya amar Rabbi Meir. Now, here we're going to have a brisa, and this brisa will go like the viewpoint of Rav Huna. Or we could actually say it the other way around. Rav Huna's an Amora. Amar Rabbi Meir, lo nechalku Rav Elazar, Rav Yeshua, Misha, Yulah, Beistino, Kosechalamo, Be'er Shabbos, Vechalamo, Be'Shabbos. In the case of Friday Shabbos, where you fast forward a week, and now you take the Friday baby, and you gave it a bris on Shabbos, day 9 of this baby, v'shachu chumal shalayr of Shabbos v'Shabbos shu pater. Here, everyone agrees you're going to be pater. Okay, so in other words, the case you start off with is the Friday Shabbos case. That's the case you start off with, and we all agree. I mean, when we say we all, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that under such circumstances you're going to be pater. Why? Because A, you were trying to do a mitzvah, and B, you succeeded in doing a mitzvah. In the case, however, of Shabbos Sunday, where I move forward a week, and by accident you give the Sunday baby a bris on Shabbos, where here there's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, and they learn it from Avodah Zarah. Again, it's the same construct of argument, where the precedent of all this comes from Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer Savak Avodah Kochavim, Avodah Kochavim, Amar Rachman Lo Savid, V'chi Avid Mechayev Hachanam Lo Shna. Did you violate Avodah Zarah? Yes, you're Chayev Karban. Did you violate Shabbos over here? Yes, you're Chayev Karban. Rabbi Yoshua Hasam Lo Tard Mitzvah, Hacha Tard Mitzvah. Whereas opposed to Rabbi Yoshua says, look, there's a big difference. In the case of Avodah Zarah, you weren't preoccupied with a mitzvah. Here, you were preoccupied with a mitzvah. Now, granted, you didn't successfully do the mitzvah, because it was day 7, but still, in the very least, however, you were tarred. You were preoccupied in doing a mitzvah. Now, it comes out that according to Rev Yehuda, it comes out now that the exemption of Shogig would even be, according to Rabbi Yoshua, the exemption of Shogig would even be, not only if you are doing a mitzvah, but even if you're just trying to do a mitzvah, that's enough where the Torah now says to you, look, I'll give you a pass. Meaning you don't have to bring a karban chatas. I understand. I know it was Shabbos. I know you violated Shabbos, but at least you were trying to do a mitzvah. So here you have a very interesting machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yeshua, which by the way is the accepted halachic viewpoint. What exactly is the threshold where the Torah basically says to you, you know what? Forgiveness. Meaning you don't even have to bring a carbon chatas. Meaning a totally excusable act. Now, again, you shouldn't have done it to begin with, but totally excusable. When is it totally excusable? So according to Rav Huna, it's when you are tobe dvar mitzvah, ve'ose mitzvah. And according to Rav Yehuda, it's tobe dvar mitzvah, even though you didn't actually do the mitzvah, as long as you were tarred b'mitzvah, that's enough where the Torah basically says to you, it's okay. Tini, hold on. Tini Rabbi Chia. Omer haya Rabbi Meir lo nechluku Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. Now, here we're going to have another brisa. So, okay, so far we've gone through now two brisas. One brisa supporting Rav Huna, second brisa supporting Rav Yehuda. And now the Gemara here presents a third brisa to us. Tini Rabbi Chia. Omer haya Rabbi Meir lo nechluku Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. Amisha yilo beisin okis echel amol b'erev Shabbos ve'echel amol b'Shabbos v'shachuchu mal et shal erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. So here in this brisa, we finally have the missing piece of the whole discussion, which is, well, what did you do with that Shabbos baby? So what did you do? Umal sheref Shabbos v'Shabbos. You took the Friday baby, you gave it a bris on Shabbos. Shu chayav. There, according to this brisa, you're going to be chayav. So here you had a Sunday and Shabbos baby. So the Gemara says, okay, that is the brisa of Rabbi Chia. Hashda Rabbi Yoshua sefer de lo kavin mitzvah poter. Reisha de kavin mitzvah mechayav. So the Gemara says, now I'm a little bit confused by this last brisa, because Rabbi Yoshua, in the scenario where you did a mitzvah, you're going to be potter. Sorry. In a scenario where you didn't do a mitzvah, you're going to be potter, right? Because it was day seven. So in a case where you did a mitzvah, you're going to be chayev? That's hard to understand. Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, Reisha Kagon, Shekadam Amal, Shal Shabbos, Be'er of Shabbos. Okay. So in the Reisha, what happened? What happened is the following. Is that the Shabbos baby, you know what you did with the Shabbos baby? You gave it a bris on Erev Shabbos. So in other words, going into Shabbos, what do you know? You know you already confused the babies. You know, I mean, presumably. In other words, you already now, you only have one baby left. The baby you have left is not a Shabbos baby. There was no heter to give this baby a bris, this baby a bris on Shabbos. So now you're going into Shabbos with absolutely no excuse to be doing a bris on Shabbos. The lo nitna Shabbos idadchos. And that's why in the first case in the Mishnah, now going into Shabbos, you did the bris on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because you had absolutely no heter. Seifa nitna Shabbos idadchos. But in the second case of the brisa, where going into Shabbos, there were two babies, one of the brises were supposed to be done on Shabbos, so now you had license and permission to do a bris on Shabbos. Now you end up doing the wrong baby, but at least there's a reason why you're holding the knife in your hand. Now, Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, but I don't understand. You're right. Of these two babies, where one of them was already done on Friday, the Shabbos baby, you're right, he didn't have license to do a bris to Shabbos. But there's got to be another baby out there in the world whose bris is today, meaning you're telling me that there's no reason why he should be holding the knife in his hand. So the Gemara says, Lahai gavra mia lo is yahiv. Okay, but that's not a good argument, says the Gemara, because for this particular Moel, in his world, there are only two babies out there, from his perspective. One's bris was on Friday, the other bris was on Shabbos. He did the Shabbos on Friday, and so for this particular Moel, no, there's no right, he had no legitimacy to be holding the knife in his hand, and so therefore, when he does the bris on Shabbos for the Friday baby, he's going to be chayav, because
lo nitna Shabbos lidachos. Are we assuming that he really knew that this baby should not have been?
Yeah, I'm not clear about that point. That's an excellent point. I'm not clear about it. If you heard me listen carefully, you heard me hedge a little bit. I'm not sure. But the point, however, being is that even if he's not clear, there's no heter. There simply is no heter for him to be holding the knife. Okay. All right. And by the way, where do we end after this whole discussion? So there is a concept of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, where if a person is a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, he gets a pass, he does not have to bring a Karban Chatas if he was involved in a mitzvah. But then we need further clarification, meaning, yes, we follow like Rabbi Yoshua, yes, there's a concept of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, but now to what degree? According to Rav Huna, it's Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah V'Asa Mitzvah, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah V'Tarud B'Mitzvah. As long as you're preoccupied in a mitzvah, and it sounds like from the Rambam, you can look it up inside, it sounds like from the Rambam, we go like Rav Yehuda. That if you're Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, even though you're Tarud B'Mitzvah, even if you're not actually successfully doing a mitzvah, but as long as you're involved in the act of doing a mitzvah, you're going to get a pass. Okay. Katan Nimol, we start the next Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. There are two more Mishnahs on this Amud. Katanim l'shmon l'tisha l'asar l'acharasar l'yud beis l'pachas v'lo yaser. A baby's bris can take place on day 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12. Okay, what? I thought bris was on day 8. Meaning, as we're going to go through the mission, it's going to be very clear that sometimes you can't do a bris on day 8. It's got to be pushed off to day 9. Sometimes it can't be done on day 9. It's got to be pushed off to day 10. Now, obviously, the bris can be done later. Meaning, if the bris, for whatever reason, is not done on day 8, 9, or 10, or 11, or 12, so it can be done a week, right, a month later, a year later, or for whatever reason, it's not done at age 13. Meaning, but sometimes, for reasons which the mission is going to explain, it has to be done either on days 9, 10, 11, or 12. Let's go through every case. Haketzad kedark lishmono. Regular baby, no complications, bris will take place on day 8. No la leben hashmashos, but what if the baby is born during ben hashmashos? Now, we're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about just on a regular ben hashmashos, twilight period. So let's say the baby's born this evening, right? Today's Sunday. Baby's born now this evening. Well, not let's not say this evening, but during the twilight period between sunset and nightfall. So now, I don't know, was the baby born on Sunday or baby born on Monday? Because the baby was born in Hashmashos, I don't know. So from Sunday's perspective, the bris will take place Monday, 9 days later. Nimo letes ben Hashmashos Sher Shabbos. I'm sorry, Nimo letes. Sorry. Ben Hashmashos Sher Shabbos. Now, if the bris takes place, ben Hashmashos Averev Shabbos. So now we have a further complication. Because now, what are we going to say? Baby was born Friday, late Friday afternoon, after sunset, during the ben Hashmashos period. So now I'll say, look, I'm not going to give the bris on Friday, because Friday may not be day 8, Friday may be day 7. All right, well, let's do the bris on Shabbos. Well, we can't do the bris on Shabbos, because it's a suffix. Only when the 8th day absolutely occurs on Shabbos, then and only then can I do the bris on Shabbos. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to do the bris on Sunday. From Friday's perspective, Sunday is 10 days later. Nimo la'asara. Yom tov la'achar Shabbos. Now what if, same scenario, but now let's throw one more complication in the mix. Let's say that Sunday where we're planning on doing the bris is a yontif. Nimo la'achad asar. So now we got to push off one more day. Well, why can't I do the bris on Sunday? Because again, I can only do a bris on yontif only if the 8th day falls out on yontif. Here, the eighth day may have been Friday, may have been Shabbos. Okay, I can't override the Shabbos with it. I can't override Sunday with it. So therefore, it's pushed off to Monday, which, from Friday's perspective, is 11 days later. Beis Yamim Shal Rosh Hashanah. Now, what if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Sunday and Monday? Now, you're going to come at me with Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on Sunday and Monday. Okay, and you're right. You're right. But in the good old days, and I'm going back a short 1,800 years ago, in the good old days, Rosh Hashanah could fall out on a Sunday. So if Rosh Hashanah fell on a Sunday, and your baby was born the previous Friday, so now I cannot do the bris on cannot do the bris on Monday. So Nimel Hashem Asar, the bris is going to take place on Tuesday, 12 days from Friday. Okay, wonderful. By the way, did you notice in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah was giving these scenarios, instead of saying 2 days of Yontif, the Mishnah says 2 days of Rosh Hashanah.
The second day of Yontif.
Right. What if we painted this scenario where I had a bris, which was supposed to be on Shabbos, but I couldn't do it on Shabbos, was supposed to be on Sunday, but Sunday is the first day of Yontif. So would I do the bris on the second day of Yontif? Yontif Sheni Shel Galuyos. Right. Would I do it then? So, right, correct. Correct. You're really getting the hang of it. So it's a machlokas. The Rambam's position, interestingly enough, is yes, you do it. The Rambam's cheshbon, it's so simple. The Rambam's cheshbon is because I have a mitzvah min haTorah called bris milah. Okay, it's a bris shelo bizmana, but it's a mitzvah min haTorah. And yantar sheni shel galios, it's a din derabanan. Right? It's an extraordinarily strong minhag. The counter argument also is very good, because once you start playing around with the second day of Yontif, so you know people are going to get lax on the second day of Yontif. So you don't, right? You can also make another argument, but the Rambam writes very clearly that you would do the bris. A milah shel abez money you would do on yantar sheni shel galios. Okay. Back to no, that's the Rambam's opinion. So the Ben's right. We wouldn't do it in yantar sheni. Okay. Rosh Hashanah Nimosh. I'm sorry. Kana chola ein moalan oso ad shiavri. Okay. If you have a katan who is a chola, so you do not do the mila until he recovers from his illness. We start with the Gemara Mishmol Chalatzo Chama Nosnol Kol Zayin Lahavro So. Now, if he has some sort of illness, okay, how do I describe this? It was a very serious illness. Whatever exactly it is, it gripped his entire body. So, not only do you wait till he recovers, but even after recovery, then there's a 7-day hiatus period where you wait. And then and only then do you do the bris. Now the Gemara says, look, we know we wait a week, but in halacha, there are two ways to look at a week. It's either a calendarical week, or it's 7 24-hour periods. Tashma, didni luda, yom havraso, ki yom halado, my yom halado, lo be'ina me'isla'es, av yom havraso, lo be'ina me'isla'es. So the Gemara says, look, when you celebrate your birthday, and notably your bar mitzvah, so it doesn't have to be at exactly the point that you are born. Meaning, once you enter into the day that you become a bar mitzvah, that's it. You're a bar mitzvah. So, right, we just had this in my house, Baruch Hashem, where on the night of the bar mitzvah, so we had a festive suda, which included pizza, of course, and the boys benched min Torah. So on the Yom Huletis, you don't look at Me'es Leis, but just the Yom. So here too, meaning on this 7-day hiatus waiting period, maybe only after it only is based on the Yom. The Gemara says not necessarily, meaning that it could be that the Yom Havraso, the day that he heals, maybe you do need a 24-hour waiting period, 7 days. So the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. How do we view the 7-day waiting period? And then we start with the next Mishnah, the final Mishnah of the Perek, Eluhain Hatzitzin Hama'akvin. Now, remember we discussed earlier in this Perek that you're starting to do the bris on Shabbos. Okay? As long as you uncovered most of the Atara, the bris has been performed. If you move your hands away from the bris, you meaning the Moel, so that's it. You can't go back and you can't do a touch-up job. Now, even though a touch-up job would make it a nicer bris, and even though it would be a kim and hider mitzvah, but we learned earlier, the mitzvah has been performed at Shabbos, you can't go back and cut. Obviously, what that means is, had it not been Shabbos, so then you go back and you remove the tzitzin. You remove these little strands of arla that, for whatever reason, was left over there. The mold didn't do a clean job. However, that sits in she'ena ma'akvin. Eloina sits in ha'ma'akvin as a mila. However, if you have a lot of tzitzin, a lot of these strands of arla that are around the atara, so they need to be removed. How much is a lot? Basar ha'chofe es rov ha'atara. If it covers the majority of the atara. Now, what exactly the atara is? So it's a machlokes amongst the Rishonim. Exactly what is the atara? Is it the entire head? Or is it just simply the corona? Whatever the case is, Eino ocha b'truma, the halachic ramifications of not getting a proper bris. It's funny, how many halachic ramifications are there? Like, you think about it, like, not getting a bris, it's a big deal. Now, it is a big deal, as we learn, when you get older, when you become an adult, and you don't have a bris, so you're chayv kares. But practically, meaning, and that is significant, but practically, lamaisa, what does it mean that you don't have a bris? So, interestingly enough, you can't eat carbon, a kohen can't eat truma, that's about it. In other words, from a halachic standpoint, a kohen cannot eat truma. Now, let's say this child is extraordinarily plump, okay, a fat baby. So the Mishnah says, if he's a baal basar, mitakno. So there, you should be a little bit aggressive on the cut. Now, right, if there's a mole out there listening to me, I say aggressive, by the way. Right, exactly. In other words, I know in the world of surgery, there's always that give and take about how aggressive to be. But if he's a baal basar, so the Mishnah says you should cut a little bit more because of the issue of maris ayin. Mavalopara esamila kilolamal. As I explained already a number of times in this parak, there are two layers of foreskin. It's a double membrane. And so there are two parts, two components to the milah. There is the cutting of that first layer, and then there's what's called priya, which is the cutting of the second layer. Bizmanenu, nowadays, as I mentioned earlier, we do both simultaneously. We probe, we pull out both, we cut both simultaneously. Okay, when did the minhag change? I do not know. But the Mishnah's point, however, is that if I cut that first layer and the second layer is still there, it's ke'ilu lomal, that is not a milah, and so you haven't done anything. Amrav evina, amrav yirmi abab, amrav basar chof is rav govashel atara. I'm sorry. Amrav Yirmi Baraba Amarav Basar Chofes Rov Govashel Atara. The Gemara is even more precise in terms of what exactly would be a tzitz hama'akev, where it holds back. So from the Mishnah, what you could have said is that it covers the majority of the circumference of the Atara. From the Gemara, no. Not even the majority of the circumference, just the majority of the height. Meaning it overlays over the entire corona, even though it's not encompassed the circumference of the atara. That's still going to be a tzitz hama'akev, and that needs to be removed. And if not, the child is an aral. V'imaya ba'al basar. Now, what if the child is fat? Amar Shmuel kan ha'mesur ba'al. If the child is mesur ba'al. Phil, I think you're going to like, Rashi uses the words, right, paltry? How do you say it in French? Right, he's paltry. He's, whatever, he's fat. So Amar Shmuel, Kana Mesurba Babasar, Rona So Kozman Shemiskasha Venira, Mahol, Ainit Sarach Lamo, the Imlav, Sarach Lamo. So Shmuel says, what's going to be the guideline? Meaning, at what point should we be aggressive in the cut? So, if the child is erect and you see the Atara, so that's fine. In other words, that would mean now that you do not need to be any more aggressive in your cut. The Masnisatan, now in the Braisa, same basic point. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kana Mesur Ba Bebasa Rona So Kol Zman Shemiskasha Ve'eino Nira Maul Tzarech Lamola. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, has a more relaxed threshold, so to say, is that if you cannot see the Atara even while erect, so that's when you need to be aggressive. Ve'imla Ve'eino Tzarech Lamola. So my Be'nao, you come out Nira Ve'eino Nira. Now, obviously, the practical difference between Shmuel versus the way Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel says it is going to be, what if you see the Atara while the child is erect? So if you can see the Atara then you don't have to be aggressive. Then you don't need to cut anymore. Whereas according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's when you need to cut additional. But according to Shmuel, no. Even if it's covered while it is not erect, you still need to cut additional. Mal velo para tan rabbanan. Hamal omer. Now the Gemara here goes over the brachas. Okay, the first bracha that we make is al hamila. It's simple birchas hamitzvah. Avia ben Omer, asher kishan b'mitzvah v'tzivanu la'achnitza b'vriso shal Avram Avinu. The father then makes a bracha of la'achnitza b'vriso shal Avram Avinu. Okay, what is that second bracha? When is that second bracha actually said? Before or after the milah? Please see Tosfos, second Tosfos on this Amud who discusses. Ha'om dim omen kishem shenichnas debiz kachi kanis l'toru l'chupo l'masim tovim. The Gemara gives us the response that we all are familiar with. Ha'mevarachom asher kidesh yedid mi vetan chok besero sam v'tzetzav hasam, I'm sorry, chasam ba'os b'riz kodesh alkein b'schar zos kel chai chalkeinu tziva la'atzil yedidos che'erenu mishach z'man b'riso asher sam b'vsarenu b'ruchat ha'ashem karei sabris. Translation, open up a siddur, see the translation inside. Hamalas agerim. Now when you give a ger a bris, which is a mitzvah, omer. Baruch atah Hashem alkeinu melech haolam asher kishanu mitzav zivanu al hamila, v'hamevarech omer asher kishanu mitzav zivanu lamol es hagerim. Lahatif mehem dam bris, she'omale dam bris lo nizkayim ha-shamayim va'aretz. Without a tafas dam bris, there is no shamayim va'aretz, she'namar im lo brisi yomam v'layla, Chukur Shemayim Va'aretz Lo Samti. Baruch Atah Hashem Kareis Habris. Hamales HaHavadim. When you purchase for yourself an Evet Kenani, we discussed this in yesterday's daf. You need a bris milah for the Evet Kenani. What's the bracha? Asher Kishan Mitzav Zivano Al Hamilah. V'Amavarech Omer Asher Kishan Mitzav Zivano Lamol Las HaHavadim LaHatif Memenu Dam Bris. She'omale Dam Bris. Chukur Shemayim Va'aretz Lo Nizkayimu. And again, without this bris, without Hatafas Dam Bris, there would be no Shemayim Va'aretz. Shenamar Im Lo Brisi Yomam V'Layla Chukor Shemayim Va'aretz Lo Samti Baruch Atah Hashem called Reis Habris. Okay, Hajan Alach Rabbi Elazar de Mila. I went over that last part too quickly. I did not like that. I would have preferred if we would have gone through a little bit of Tosos in terms of what exactly that second bracha is. When exactly do you make that second bracha? Who makes that second bracha? Okay. All right, anyway, but we are done now with the 19th parak. We finished up today the discussion of the Nefil for the first 30, the Suffolk Nefil for the first 30 days. Then the Mishnah talks about Tol B'Dvar Mitzvah. A very interesting discussion, exactly what the parameters of Tol B'Dvar Mitzvah is. The mitzvah of Mila is done is somewhere between day 8 and day 12. Touched on the issue, can you do a Mila Shlo B'Zmana on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios? And then finally, the last sugya is the Tzitzan HaMa'akev. What exactly is the Tzitzan HaMa'akev? Plus the brachas that you make at a bris. Okay, finish the 19th parak. Hajan Lach Rebbe Elazar de Mila. We come back to the 19th parak in a short 7.5 years from now. And we continue tomorrow with the 20th parak of Shabbos. Continue for Shlema for Binyamin Zev, Hakon Ben Shon Rivka, for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Avigail, Rabbi Chananya Ben Akash Amar, Tzakash Baruch Lezakir Zol Ficha, Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar, Adonai Chafei Tzaman Tzikol Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Amen.